Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. And tonight we'll be talking about manga suggestions to the Western comic reader. Of course, I'm my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
I'm going to be the guinea pig tonight.
Also, of course, you know, Red Ink.
Hello!
So, greetings and beyond videos.
So, yes, JT is not an avid manga reader, so...
I've read 3 volumes of Tiger and Bunny, which is this superhero-based manga. Although I don't know if that started overseas and just came over here, if it started here and proliferated around the world. And I've read the first 8 volumes of My Hero. So I have a very limited repertoire in that sense.
And we're not limited just to superhero manga. Yeah. We're talking about all manga. So it's... So, nothing's off limits here. So, the idea here is we're going to talk about manga that I think is befitting to anyone who is just, you know, a strict Western superhero, you know, comic guy who might be interested in dipping their toes. So, Red, what do you think is a good manga to suggest to someone like JT? Knowing JT's tastes, a guy from Saskatoon that likes pro wrestling, superhero comics, and eating a Taco Bell.
I just shake my head slowly.
I could see you shaking your head through the internet, Red.
All right, probably Full Metal Alchemist is a title I'm pretty sure JT would love.
That's a good suggestion.
I've never looked at the manga. I've seen a few episodes of the anime, but why don't you, for the listeners, for the, you know, 3 people that haven't heard of Full Metal Alchemist, Red, how would you sum that up?
With a little bit of spoilers, it's a story about 2 brothers whose mother passes away while they're still young. One of the brothers is a genius when it comes to what the world calls alchemy. It's not really explained too much, but it's basically magic. But you can't get something from nothing. You have to do equivalent exchange. So you exchange something, and you get something. And that's their version of alchemy. You can change something. It's all about, like, transmutation. You change shit.
One state to another.
Yeah, so they get the idea to bring their mother back from the dead. Because they're kids, and they don't think of any consequences or anything. So they gather all the materials that a human body is made out of. Approximately what would be their mother's size and weight and all that shit. And then they try to bring her back. Then comes the question, what is the price in exchange for a human soul? So it turns out they can't bring their mother back. And during the process, one brother loses his whole body. And then to save him, his brother, like, grafts his soul to a suit of armor. The brother who did the alchemy loses his leg and sacrifices his arm in order to bring his brother back.
Jeez.
And the story is the 2 of them trying to bring, like, recover from what they did. They've learned their lesson. They don't want to bring their mother back. But they're trying to recover the one brother's body, and they don't really, like, it's hinted that the other brother doesn't care about his arm and leg. He just wants to save his little brother. And they travel the world and eventually join, like, the militaristic government of their country, which is full of alchemists, and they use alchemy for soldiers and stuff like that. And as time goes on, they uncover a conspiracy. Uh, I don't want to go too much into conspiracy, or I'll ruin the whole comic for you.
Based on that, I wouldn't even think that would really, I mean, that sounds like a heck of a thing for a manga title, because, you know, if I hadn't known about it previously, I would have thought that this is like a fantasy series. Not a manga, but
it's one part fantasy, one part real life. Like, the woman who wrote the comic, she grew up during World War II. Like, she was a child during World War II. And a lot of the army and all that stuff are all based off of World War II. Japan was part of the Axis powers. So you're going to notice that the army resembles the Nazi party a lot.
Yeah, isn't like the leader of the army called the Führer?
That's not because I have anything to do with the army. That has to do with speaking German. Because the name general or commander is Führer.
Didn't actually know that.
Cool. A lot of people actually get angry at the... There's a voice actor who did the... Did the voice for Edward Elric, the main character. And the fans lovingly call him the Führer. And haters love to fucking bring up the fact that Hitler was called the Führer. But they don't realize in German, like, it's just a name for a leader. It's not a fucking racist word.
Okay. I could definitely check that out.
But like I said, they're similar to the Nazi party, but they're not the Nazi party. They're not killing. Well, actually, yeah, they do.
Yeah. That's a slippery.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's on the list that I can check. I checked at least the first volume of that one out. Now, I mean, outside of superhero comics or, you know, mech stuff, because I would say that I'm a big Gundam fan. Like, I'm definitely a super robot fan. So is there anything like that you guys might suggest?
Mech stuff in manga? I'm not really a big mech guy in manga, honestly.
Okay. I've watched a fair bit of anime, and I know there's some manga, a lot of them have come from manga or light novels. One that I got into a while ago and I'd like to get back to, because I'm only probably about a handful of episodes in, was The Devil's a Part-Timer, which, for listeners that don't know, is essentially Satan incarnates on Earth and has no actual supernatural power, so he has to become a wage slave at a McDonald's.
Well, that show gets really fucked up. That's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down.
Yeah. Now, if I have to make a suggestion, like, one manga I do enjoy, but there's two different versions of this manga, and this is a rabbit hole in of itself, is I do like One Punch Man. And when I say there's two versions, the reason why there's two versions is there's the webcomic version, which is a weird scribble mess that is almost indecipherable at times. And there's the really clean, awesome-looking version drawn by a professional artist.
Well, One Punch Man is a good example of, if you're a good fucking writer,
yes,
people will notice.
Yes.
It does not matter how shitty your fucking art is.
Yes. Because absolutely.
The writer of the manga, the one that's released in books and stuff like that, was a fan of the webcomic.
Yes.
He started reading the webcomic and he was like, holy shit, this is fucking good.
Yes.
I want to make a professional version of this. Will you let me?
Yes. Yes. So One Punch Man is set in this world of superheroes, where there's a superhero association, where there's weird monsters all the time, and there's this guy named Saitama, who basically has the ability that he is super duper fucking ridiculously overpowered. He's the most overpowered protagonist in the world. And that's his curse, because all he wants is a good fight. And he will never get it. And I know that sounds like a boring story, but it's actually a really good story, because all the supporting characters really shine. And my favorite character is... Go ahead, Red.
One Punch Man is a comedy in a serious world.
Yes.
So, like, you take the Marvel Universe, where you have all these characters that are super serious, and everything's, well, almost fantasy reality and stuff like that, and everybody takes themselves seriously, and there's an army and blah blah blah, and you have this one guy who can just kick everybody's fucking ass easily with one fucking hit, and it's a comedy because he's so ridiculously powerful.
Yes, exactly. And again, my favorite character has to be Licensed Rider or Moomin Rider. He is this guy who is ridiculously underpowered, but he fights because no one else will. And he's like this one character that Saitama actually respects the most out of all the heroes. And the Sea King fight is one of the greatest scenes in the series. And like I said, if you read the original webcomic, like I said, the art looks like scribbles, but again, it's like the artist, the professional manga artist saw this as like, holy shit, like Red said, holy shit, I gotta draw this for you. And then all of a sudden, like, license deals, you know, anime deals, manga deals, here's Jump Trucks full of money. And you have to read the manga, JT, is all I have to say.
Yeah, while I've been listening to you guys, I've been looking at the first couple of chapters of the webcomic. And, yeah, no, I mean, and honestly, this is another, like, the anime more than anything. I've only ever seen, like, the one, like, the first episode. Where he's fighting, what is the villain? Vaccine Man, who's born of Mother Earth, and he's going to cleanse the Earth of the virus that is humanity, and Saitama just, you know, biffs him one, and the guy literally disintegrates. And what I got from that first episode, and I'm sure it's in the manga, is like he throughout the series, does he still maintain this thing where he's just kind of like bummed out all the time because he literally can't come up against anybody that gives him a decent challenge?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, when it comes to being a superhero, he has a lax attitude, like he's bored all the fucking time. But in his real life, his normal life, he's not bummed out all the time. He's actually very emotional.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, One Punch Man, in my opinion, is a perfect example of don't be afraid to make a webcomic. If you can't find a fucking artist, who gives a shit? Just draw what you can.
Be the fucking artist, yes.
Live the dream?
Yes. Live the dream. Okay. Be the dream. You know, and don't be afraid.
All right, so One Punch Man, Full Metal. Don't go down the rabbit hole that is Devil is a Part-Timer.
Yes.
I'm not, again, mostly superhero when I think of manga, but I have on occasion like fantasy comic books. As what about something out of the fantasy genre?
Well, I have weird crack tastes in fantasy, so I'm not sure if my taste in fantasy will align with your taste in fantasy. Go ahead, Red.
I know a comic Ben will agree with, and that's fucking Rise of the Shield Hero.
Oh, fuck yes, Rise of the Shield Hero. Yes. Now, not before. Do it.
Okay.
We'll explain, Ben.
Rise of the Shield Hero is the premier, perfect example, gold standard of the isekai genre. Isekai is the idea of a hero from our world being taken to the fantasy world, either being selected or being killed and being brought to the fantasy world. Most of the times it's being killed, or sometimes, more often than not, by Truck-kun, that is being hit by a truck. Shield Hero is a story of this guy, regular guy, who is brought to this fantasy kingdom and is selected to wield one of the five holy weapons of the Church of the Five Heroes. And this weapon he's given is the Holy Shield.
Church of the Four Heroes.
Yes, Church of the Four Heroes. And is the Holy Shield, which is considered the weakest of the four holy weapons. And he is immediately disrespected. And the princess of the kingdom is like, hey, yeah, I like you. And immediately, you know, starts smooching up to him. And then the next morning he wakes up and she's stolen from him and accuses him of rape. But because he's one of the heroes, they can't execute him. Go ahead, Red.
You're kind of skipping details. When he arrives, he's not disrespected. Everybody shows him respect. Like, they're given a grand feast, all these heroes. And then they're giving money, weapons, and people to help them out.
Yes.
Except for him. He's given a meager wage, like a tiny little bit of money. It's still, in that world, it's still a lot of money. But compared to the other guys, he's probably getting a quarter of what they get. And he's got no helpers. And then the princess volunteers to help him.
Yes. But
he gets accused, he gets Me Too'd.
Uh-huh.
And then he has to build himself up after being basically rejected by what sounds like everyone in this kingdom.
Yes. And basically he is thrown out to the wolves. He gets no support. No one will associate with him. And he, you know, all the other heroes, basically whenever the other heroes show up anywhere, it's like, oh, take our house, take our bedrooms, you know, we'll give you a feast, take our best weapons, take our best men, do whatever. He shows up anywhere, they're like, oh, you have to pay double price for anything, and you know, we're not gonna give you shit. And so he has to basically do everything the hard mode, but at the same time he works for everything. He has to work for everything. He has to. No one will work in his party. So the only way he gets anything, he has to pay for any party member. So he has to pay for, because his only weapon is a shield. He doesn't have a sword. So he has to buy a slave named Raffaella, who is a sword. She has to wield swords for him. And because he doesn't trust anyone, he has a slave pact with her, and she is his sword. But he treats her very well. He doesn't abuse her. He feeds her well. He treats her like a daughter. And I'm not romancing or having a very light view on a slave companionship role with her. He's actually extremely nice to her, and she levels up and she grows up because she levels up. And she actually really respects him, Nafumi. And she actually really loves him because he's that respectful to her. And people are like, oh, this treats like a very romanticized slave-master relationship. It's not like that. It's the only way he can trust anyone because of his betrayal is through that sort of relationship. Go ahead, Red.
It's not just that. At first, she's scared of him. Like, they have the master-slave relationship at first. But he starts traveling the world. And he's basically playing catch-up with the other heroes. So he's always in their wake of whatever destruction, whatever adventure they were on. And they don't clean up their messes.
Yes.
So they'll kill a dragon and just leave the dragon's body there. And it turns out that the blood of this dragon is fucking toxic and killing an entire fucking town.
And he cleans it up. And that's the other thing is he's living with the peasants that they are ruining the lives of. And there's a great example of this is the princess Melty, the one that not Melty, the other one, the one that the bitch, the one that accused them. You know, she shows up at a town that he's like living adjacent of, saying, "We just raised the taxes," and she blames the taxes that every peasant has to pay. And Nafumi shows up and he laughs and he says, "Are you insane? You know how much these people make a year?" And he talks about how much they make a year and shit because he lives with these people. He's like, because, you know, he lives with these people. He knows how much they make. And all the other townspeople are like, "Hey, wait a minute. This guy lives with us. Why are we treating this guy like shit?" And like slowly, because the fact that he's living hard mode with these peasants are sort of slowly realizing, why are we treating this guy like shit? Why are we defending this princess who's a bitch to us? And slowly, because of the fact of all this stuff, they're sort of realizing, why are we taking this bitch princess's word for everything?
Wow. And just thinking about how hard it would be for him to even want to go on in this, because I'm assuming, like most isekai, they're trapped in this world.
Yeah, they are.
It's not like he can go home.
Well, that's the thing. When he first starts his adventure, he wants to go home. That's his whole goal. That's the reason why he's working, is he's trying to figure out a way to get home and just survive and eat and have a meal at night, stuff like that. As time goes on, he eventually, like, becomes sympathetic with the people and their plights and stuff like that. And he becomes an actual fucking hero, whereas the other four guys treat the world as a video game that they can just run over and don't give a shit about anybody or anything.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, is they don't have sympathy for the people. They still treat it like a video game. They don't ever sit down and have a conversation with the peasants. He does.
I definitely get into this one.
Yeah.
Because it's an isekai show, so they have access to, like, menus and stuff. So it's like a video game to these people.
Right.
And there's subtle hints and clues that he's becoming more and more in tune with the world, because at first when he eats, he can't taste anything. But as time goes on, he starts actually being able to taste things because he's actually tuning in with the people, tuning in with the world.
So taking the analogy of building up his skill tree, is the more experience he gets, the more he's able to, I guess, not take notice, but... Yeah, no, it's like, I mean, I'm a fan of the isekai genre, but I had heard of this one, but again, hadn't to look too much into it, so okay, that's on the list for damn sure.
But that's a good one, Red. But another one I've been reading lately is a really weird one. And like I said, if I have to start going into fantasy and isekai, I have some crack suggestions. One that I've been reading lately that's also just recently turned into a manga is Moonlit Journey Across Another World.
Go on.
So this one's a little bit of a weird isekai. It's about this guy who's technically, his parents isekai are from another world, that isekai'd to Earth and lived a normal life. And then this guy, basically, they came to Earth on the agreement that one of their kids has to come back and be a hero from to the fantasy world. So he's pulled by the goddess of this world to become the hero. But the goddess of this world looks at him and goes like, "Ew, you're ugly. I don't want you to be the hero. I'm just going to throw you off in the corner of my world. Don't breed with humans here because you're ugly."
Wow.
But the god of Japan sees this as like, wow, this goddess is a bitch. I'm going to give you some blessings because this goddess is a bitch.
Okay, so how is he blessed?
Just some random blessings like, what was it again? Some stuff like you're going to have some extra mana.
So So like the god is a god or goddess from Japan that's doing this.
God, it's like the god of the moon.
Okay, so this god gives him like a little bit of a boost, and it turns out to be like way more than would be necessary, kind of thing.
Yeah, because the goddess of this world kind of cursed him a little bit, basically saying you're able to speak all the languages except for human. Which is actually kind of a big fuck you to him, because he's not able to speak to humans, which makes him a pariah, because anytime he tries to talk to humans, they can't understand him, and they think he's a demi-human, and they immediately try to run him out of town.
Okay. So kind of like with the Rise of the Shield Hero, it's all about getting screwed over by the establishment and having to prove yourself.
Yes.
Okay. And that's kind of a neat twist. He already can speak to humans when he gets there, but then he gets screwed over like this, and now he can just talk to everything other than human.
Yes.
That's kind of a cool twist.
So he shows up, and he talks to, like, the orcs, and the orcs understand him, and he saves the orcs from some monsters, and then he meets a dragon, and the dragon tries to fight him. And the dragon starts looking into his memories like, hey, you're from another world. That's kind of cool. I want to become your companion. And the dragon agrees to become his familiar. So the dragon becomes his familiar and transforms into a woman. So the dragon becomes his familiar. And from there, it just becomes really weird and crazy and funny. This is a really weird manga, but like I said, it's when I go into fantasy and manga, I go into the Crack series.
Okay, so
I got into the Crack series. Okay. I don't know if Vince read it.
Okay, what is it?
Kumu desu ga nani ka.
Kumu desu ka.
Ga.
Desu ga.
Which translates to, so I'm a spider, what about it?
Oh, I fucking love that series.
It's a really good series about a classroom of kids get blown up. And they all isekai into another world. They all go to another world. And it follows one of the classroom members, which she is reborn as a spider. She's not reborn as a human.
Okay. And I'm assuming because it's a manga, she doesn't look like an actual, like, spindly legs gross spider.
No, she does.
She does. Okay, she's drawn as a cute spider. Mm-hmm. But when people see her, you see an actual fucking gross looking crazy spider.
Okay. She doesn't get Pokemaned except she thinks herself to be a Pokemon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And an entire class gets isekai'd. Wow.
And it gets weird.
But she doesn't know that at first. Like, her whole deal for the most of the comic is her surviving. Because she's a monster. Like, one of the monster races. She isn't just a spider. She's a monster you would kill in an MMO or an RPG and stuff like that.
And she starts mm-hmm. really fucking low level, too.
And she's trying to survive. She ranks up. She actually evolves. Like, as she ranks up, she's able to choose different evolutions and stuff like that. And because she's seen other spiders, she'll know what... She kind of knows what she'll evolve into.
Okay.
So... She avoids certain evolutions and follows this certain path and stuff like that.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I mean, it'd make me deal with my arachnophobia, for one thing.
But there's also two parts of the story. Like, it follows her and it follows another member of her class. Where they're in a classroom and they're trying to find the other people that isekai'd, like all the members of their class that isekai'd. And they're aware of this because their teacher also was reincarnated, and their teacher has the ability to sense all the students, and but she doesn't know where they are. She just knows that if they're alive, that's it.
So kind of like that vague premonition power that the Highlanders have?
Yeah.
Okay.
But as time goes on, this is a bit of a spoiler. Sorry for ruining it for you.
Mm.
You realize that when you're following the spider, it's probably 15 years in the past compared to the young adult kids, like the teenage kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually, the two timelines merge, and it gets really fucked up. Because by the time they merge and they come together, she's evolved into a fucking powerful monster.
And not like the standard sexy spider lady that people might be thinking of.
She's well, like, she has a human form by the time she meets up with her classmate.
Okay. Classmates. All right. I think I could be persuaded to check that one out. I mean, definitely like Rise of the Shield Hero and that Moonlit Fantasy, I'd probably tackle those first.
And by the way, I just want to give a slight spoiler about Moonlit Fantasy is the goddess, after she pulls the hero and realizes she doesn't like him because he's ugly, she goes back to Earth and grabs two other people to be heroes, and the girl she grabs is okay, but the guy she grabs is god awful. Like the other heroes from Shield Hero are way better people than the guy that from Moonlit Fantasy. Like Jesus Christ, that guy! Oh my God, that guy's
okay. And you're awful. Talking about the second guy the goddess grabs.
Yes. Oh my God, that guy's
okay. Not the pro tag, but
yes.
Rival.
He's not a fucking rival, but oh my God, that guy's fucking awful.
I'm just using it as a placeholder.
Yeah, just okay. Fucking awful. Jesus Christ, that guy.
Because for some reason, when you described him, the first thing that popped in my head is that, you guys ever see High School of the Dead?
Yes.
That just made me think of that chunky guy with the glasses that just happens to have, like, this stockpile of weapons that, like, oh, you're going to become.
That's, that guy from High School of the Dead is based off of the fucking writer of Hellsing.
I did not know that. All right.
He's even named after him.
Okay.
Now, it brought him to look like him.
Okay. I'm not saying it. I didn't know that. Now, you know, we got some fantasy. You know, we got, you know, One Punch Man. We got, you know, Full Metal Alchemist. Something that I've thought of dabbling in. Because, you know, I grew up watching all those great sports comedies from the '80s.
Yes.
What sort of sports manga might you guys suggest, if you know of any?
Hajime no Ippo.
Let's pretend I don't know what you just said.
Hajime no Ippo. It's a boxing manga.
Oh. Because before, it just sounded like you were having a seizure and speaking in tongues.
Do you like Rocky?
Yes.
Then you will read Hajime no Ippo.
Okay, what's that? Like, what's the gist?
It's about this young boy named Ippo who is a high school. Well, he starts as a high schooler, but he works on his mom's fishing boat, and he's picked on in high school. And he decides to become a boxer because he's picked on all the time. And this older guy tells him a story about how there was this little boy that lived in New York that was picked on all the time until his class bullies killed all his pet pigeons. And he went mad and beat up all his bullies. And this young boy's name was Mike Tyson. And he wants to become transformed like Mike Tyson.
Okay, is you guys know the anime Baki?
Yes.
Is there a manga of Baki?
Yes.
Yes.
Would you recommend Baki?
I don't like the art style.
Okay.
I don't like the story or the art style. Hajime no Ippo was a lot fucking better.
Okay.
It is like we once discussed One Piece with you. You said you didn't really want to read it because it has way too many chapters.
But then I also said something equally stupid that I'd try and watch the anime.
But Hajime no Ippo has the same fucking problem.
It's 1,300 chapters. I recommend you read, like, at least, if you get through 300 chapters of Hajime no Ippo, you'll be okay. Just try to get through at least 300 chapters. That's enough to know if you'll like it.
Not 100, not 200, 300.
300 is a good number.
Okay.
You'll know if you like it right away. Yes. Like, you don't need to read 300 chapters. The main protagonist is extremely relatable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a kid. Like, he doesn't know anything. Like, a lot of the book has to do with educating you about boxing and how boxing works. You can tell that the author did his fucking research.
All right.
Like, they talk about things like stepping stones. That's a boxing term where you have a boxer who's not that good, and everybody knows he's not that fucking good. But people will set up boxing matches just to get that win number on their record. Like, this boxer is 20-0. Well, that's because he beat 20 bums and never lost to 20 bums.
11-0, Red. 11-0.
Yeah. All right. I put that on the maybe list because, like I said, only so many hours in the day. Now, I like Adam Warren, whose listeners may know as North American artist, but draws in a very pronounced manga-esque style. Is there anything that say might be reminiscent of Warren's style that just on looks that you guys might suggest?
That's putting
big eyes and all that.
That's putting me on the spot here. Like, you might like Pat LeBoer.
That's
Yuki Masami?
Yeah, that's like the Tank Police or something like that, isn't it?
Well, Yuki Masami's style is very much that 80s style, like I said.
Yeah, I guess that's what I was going with the Adam Warren. It's like that 80s style kind of thing.
Yeah. But you like mechs. Pat LeBoer might be up your alley.
All right. I'm just looking at Pat LeBoer, some of the art here.
If you like 70s cop shows.
Oh, yeah.
I'd recommend Gunsmith Cats.
That might be a good one, yeah.
I see the anime. I didn't know that was a manga. All right, that's definitely on the list.
Gunsmith Cats is written by a guy who you would call, like, they have. They call Japanese fans weeaboos. Well, he's an American weeaboo. And he doesn't... Like, just like you know some Japanese fans of Japan and anime, and they just make up shit about fucking Japan. They're like, it's paradise and all this. He makes up shit about America.
Yeah, that's true.
Like... One example is the main character, Rally Vincent, is Indian. He wanted her to be Native American. He didn't know that Indians from Indian and Native Americans are not the same fucking thing.
He also thought... Rally's name was Larry Vincent. And he thought Larry... He didn't know that Larry was not a woman's name.
Well, a lot of names in Japan are... interchangeable between men and women.
Yes. Rally was what the localization did because it was confusing. Now, if you like the 80s aesthetic, one series I have to recommend for you. Not sure if you'll like it, but if you like the aesthetic, I have to recommend, just because I think the art is beautiful, City Hunter.
What? What is that fountain? Oh, that's that Jackie Chan movie where he dressed up like Chun-Li.
That's not even remotely the same.
Well, I didn't know that was based on a manga. I just know that I've seen that movie.
The art is gorgeous. It's that 80s aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have to look at that. I've just found a read online site that's got Gunsmith Cats.
If you like the 80s aesthetic and going back to fantasy, there's a one of my favorite comics, favorite manga I'd recommend. And people will look at you funny if you buy this in the store. And you got to make sure that you do not fucking like PC politics because it is very anti-PC.
Okay.
Is a comic called Bastard.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll
Sorry,
do it.
I was thinking of Berserk when you said that. What's Bastard about?
Bastard's a story of Dark Schneider, like a wizard, like the most powerful wizard that ever existed.
Right.
And 12 years before the story starts, before the comic starts, he's defeated. But he's also immortal. He cannot die. He cannot be destroyed. You'll find out why, like, way late, like 20 volumes into the comic, why. It's actually a mystery that goes on for a lot of the comic. But, like I said, he can't be killed. He can't be destroyed. So they fuse his soul to a kid's, to a kid.
Okay.
So whenever this young woman kisses this kid, the kid will transform into Dark Schneider. And you can tell the artist and the writer is a fan of Dungeons and Dragons. He doesn't know much about Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you could tell he had a basic, what do you call it?
Source book,
but he didn't really read it all the way through. He just kind of browsed it. So you'll have, like, as you go through the comic, you'll have, like, a picture of Dark Schneider and all the stats and stuff like that. And it'll say, like, chaotic evil at first. And eventually it turns to chaotic neutral, then chaotic good as time goes on.
Okay. I could probably get into that one, too. Because right now what I have on the list is, Full Metal, Gunsmith Cats, Found the Shield Hero.
Uh-huh.
And
Moonlit Fantasy.
Little Fantasy. Bastard.
You'll find two different versions of Bastard.
Okay.
There's the unalterated version, which is really 80s style. Really, it's not actually drawn that well for the first few volumes. And the artist knows this, like, because he takes a leap in fucking quality. Just one day, he's just suddenly a lot fucking better. Maybe he got art lessons. Who the fuck knows? Then, because of that, he's aware of how shitty his art is in the past. He redoes the old comics.
And just trying to find that one here, because found one bastard that looks like some emo-looking kid.
It's Bastard with two exclamation points.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
And the artist and writer is also a heavy metal fan. So a lot of the countries and cities are named after fucking heavy metal bands. So you read the English version, mm-hmm. and there'll be like the country of Whito Snakey, because White Snake is copyrighted in America, so you can't just call it White Snake. Or they live in the city of Metallica, which is actually Metallica.
Okay.
And his spells that he casts are actually lyrics from fucking heavy metal songs.
All right.
Okie dokie. So, do we have any other recommendations? I think I think we gave JT some good recommendations for a first time for a mostly Western comic reader. We gave you some reading assignments. Next week we will reconvene. We will hear JT's thoughts on these reading assignments from a mostly Western superhero comic book reader who is a WWE wrestling fan from Saskatoon and a Taco Bell eater.
You really gotta let that go, Ben.
Well, how would you summarize yourself?
You could say Taco Time. I would be perfectly fine with that. I don't eat Taco Bell on the regular.
Okay. All right, I apologize. Do you guys have Chipotle up there?
No.
No.
Well, that's a
good
thing.
Maybe in Toronto. I don't know.
Toronto. All right. Well, next week we'll reconvene and we'll see what JT thinks of our recommendations. This is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
Peace out.